Welcome to Life Off Screen with Dan and Peggy Ruppel. Thank you for joining us. If you're enjoying this podcast, do us a favor and subscribe to the show and give us a rating. Life Off Screen is produced by Master Media International. And to find out more about Master Media or the Life Off Screen podcast, visit us at lifeoffscreen.com. And now, here's Dan and Peggy.
Hello and welcome to Life Off Screen. I'm Dan Ruppel. I'm joined by my wife, Peggy. And we're going to have a lot of fun today. I think you're going to love and laugh with this couple that we have. It is Squire Rushnell and his wife, Louise Duart. Squire has quite a history in network television. He was an executive at ABC for over 20 years. Mm-hmm. He was at the helm of Good Morning America, but he really made his mark in children's programming. He created the iconic show, Schoolhouse Rock. So get ready to sing maybe some of those songs.
And what I love is his wife, Louise Duart, is a phenom. She is a comedian and impressionist, the top of her craft. And she has toured Vegas, has her own woman's show, but also too, she toured for 10 years with Harvey Korman and Tim Conway doing her iconic voice of Carol Burnett. Remarkable.
Yes.
And you'll hear some of those today.
Right. And today they're doing some remarkable things together. Mm-hmm. They have a series of books as well as it's spawned television shows, even films about God Wink. So we're going to explain what a God Wink is in just a minute. So let's just jump right in with Squire Rushnell and Louise Duart. All the way from Martha's Vineyard, Squire Rushnell and Louise Duart. Yes. How are you?
Welcome to Martha's Vineyard.
Yes.
You have to say it
that. That is so beautiful. Yeah. Louise, we were just talking. I don't think I've seen you for maybe 30 years.
I cannot believe it. I mean, it does go by. You know, 30 years from now, we'll be seeing each other in the great by and by, probably.
That's right.
Exactly.
And we'll still be laughing. Yeah, I should tell the audience where we connected. I was with my comedy group, Isaac Airfrey, back in those days, and they asked us to do a TV pilot, much in the style of Saturday Night Live. And we were a two-man group at the time. We obviously needed a cast of characters. And I think you were the first person to audition. It's like, oh.
Gold.
We just found gold. And it was such a joy. We struck up a friendship, and then we kind of lost track a few years later. And it's so good to see you again.
Yes. Well, you know, with Louise, you get 100 characters.
That's right.
Only one airline ticket.
Yeah. You know, though, I would say, you know, now that I'm getting older and I don't really perform anymore on stage, but I realized that all of my act now is in heaven, you know, that I was doing. Joe Rivers,
give
me talk here, you know.
the incredible George Burns. George Burns is in heaven, Joe.
I mean, there's so many of them. The only ones left are like, Judge Judy, do you see stupid on my forehead here, sir? So few are here. It's unbelievable.
You see, I never know who I'm waking up next to, Peggy.
Yes. Right. Oh, my goodness, yes. Well, Dan's 8 comedy albums, his sketch comedy, so much was pulled from TV shows, current television commercials that everybody saw on the 3 networks at the time.
Oh, yeah.
So even our albums are dated. I mean, it really it's very nostalgic. So his act is dated as well.
Yeah.
So Louise, can I ask you, when did you find out that you had a knack for impressions?
It's so fascinating to me how I see how God works, because believe it or not, as a child, I was painfully shy. Yeah, I really, really was. And so I didn't talk very much, but I would stand in front of the mirror and I would do all these impressions of characters. One of my favorites was, you know, Carol Burnett. I just loved you. And anyway, so I would do all the, you know, Barbara Streisand, I love them all. But my friends in school realized that I could do these impersonations, but I also could impersonate their mothers. So I need to admit this, that I could actually get us out of school by calling up as their mothers and pretending that I was, you know, Mrs. Rosenstein, you know, and get them out of school. Is that our phone?
Don't worry about it.
That could be a job. Hold on.
Somebody's showing.
I thought you were doing an impression of a phone, you know, and I thought, wow, she's good at that.
Good. You know what that is? That's another political person calling, trying to get our vote on something.
I'm telling you. Well, you know, it is one thing to amuse your friends, to get them out of, you know, out of class or whatever, but you launched a career and a successful career, yeah. Time in Vegas and on and on. Can I ask you what your favorite characters are? Do you have a favorite? I mean, they must be so dear to you.
You know, I always loved Joan Rivers. And and believe it or not, I got to know Joan. She was really one of the sweetest ladies. Really? I did Hollywood Squares a lot. And I would always, you know, they would have Joan in one square and I'd be above in the other square. And I knew when they were getting ready to call on me and I pulled my wig on. Oh, can we talk? I just loved you, Joan Rivers. And she loved that I did her. She was just great. So she was one of my favorites. And of course, Carol Burnett and George Burns are like classics. Yeah. I mean, and of course, Katharine Hepburn is one of my favorites. I always loved Kate the Color Lilies are in bloom again. And, you know, her and Jane Fonda when they did on Golden Pond. Mother, mother, I don't know what it is about Dad. I want to be his friend. Oh, you've got a great chip on your shoulder, Chelsea.
I love it. Well, I'm gonna turn to you, Squire. Did you start your career as a TV executive or as a producer?
Well, I started as a producer. I produced a television show in Boston. And then that was duplicated by the ABC-owned station in Chicago. And then that evolved. That was the first clone for what was the show that went on the air before Good Morning America. Ah. It was AM America. And I always wanted to be involved in all of those kinds of things. But when I went to New York, I was vice president of children's television. Okay. And I was I kept that job for 15 years. But after I was there in that job for 2 years, they said, well, you've been doing these morning shows. Let's put you in charge of Good Morning America. Mm. So I had the GMA as well as KidVid, and I never wanted to give up children's television. That was always kind of a treasure. And I always felt as though I was, you know, doing something that was going to have long-term results. Mm-hmm. And Good Morning America, you put the show on the air, and it goes up in vapor, and they taped it, but you almost never used the tape. It was like it was never reusable.
So was it a deliberate move to go into children's programming, or did you just kind of land there and discover that you enjoyed it?
No, I actually, when I was in Chicago, I was program director of the Chicago station. I started a kids show called Inc. Interesting News for Kids. Oh, okay. And so that got some press and so on and so forth. And it turned out that that ABC executives thought that I would know something about KidVid. So they just elevated me.
So but he's not telling you everything. You know,
I know he's not. You did the ABC Afternoon Specials and Schoolhouse Rock.
Yeah.
All right. Conjunction. Yeah. Junction.
Yeah.
What's your function?
All right.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, are you kidding my kids? And thank you. I just want to say thank you to all the mothers because our kids aced those grammar issues around that. So, in fact, while you were talking, I was poking Dan. Saying, you bring it up because he's not telling the truth.
He's not going to tell us, yeah.
All right, Peggy, so Conjunction Junction was the number one Schoolhouse Rock program. Do you know number two?
What is it?
I'm just a Bill. On
Capitol Hill.
And they should be playing that on Capitol Hill as we speak.
Well, they do.
They do.
You hear it a lot on television. You see it pop up every once in a while.
But didn't they call you or something about the Capitol?
What happened is that it was the most requested of the Schoolhouse Rock programs by Washington lobbyist groups.
Really?
They wanted to take that little 3-minute program and play it for their staffs and show them how a bill went through Congress.
Oh,
and
my
it became
goodness.
A very good teaching mechanism for a lot of those lobbyists.
Absolutely.
Yes, to this day. I mean, it's embedded with, you know, music in beds, right?
Yes, it does.
You know, it seems like, and you would have a better handle on this than me, but it seems like children's programming was kind of trivialized. But recently, especially with the documentary on Fred Rogers and the Tom Hanks movie, people are suddenly seeing how important children's programming is in you know, building into the life of a child.
Innovative.
It really is. And of course, Saturday morning doesn't exist anymore on the three networks, but there have been, I think, great opportunities in the streamers and in those kinds of distribution opportunities. I hope that we're actually talking about doing some children's books and properties based upon the Godwinks series, which, of course, a Godwink is not a coincidence, but one of those things that seems like a coincidence, but we know comes from divine origin.
Absolutely.
So that's a new word in the language. And we're working on the 12th book. And the fifth one that Miss Louise has written with me, and that book comes out in October. It's called Dog Winks. Every Godwink story in the book has a dog at the center of it. So that is, that's the basis of Dog Winks. But We have been talking to production companies about and distributors about doing a children's series based upon Godwinks, because the idea of being able to teach kids what a Godwink is, and we're even thinking about maybe a little book that, like even a board book for kids, the picture book, I Had a Godwink Today, where we just show how kids can identify their Godwinks. And once they start identifying their Godwinks, as all of us start identifying our Godwinks, we realize we have a connection to God at all times.
Absolutely. Well, can I tell you, this so resonates with our heart, because about the time Dan and I were going through the Henry Blackaby series on experiencing God. And what does he say? He says that God is at work always around us, always inviting us to join him. So we would, at the dinner table, we came up with an idea. And you know,
when our three kids were younger,
and we called it a God find.
Oh, isn't that great?
And at the table, we'd ask them, you know, where'd you find God today?
Yes.
And at first they would say, you know, goofy things like, well, my brother wasn't as dumb today, so I guess that's a miracle. Yeah. You know, it's like, but we had to be patient. And
but
we had
pretty
to,
soon,
pretty
they started.
Soon, they said, you know, this happened. Could that be God?
They know that they're not alone.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes.
They have Israel, that God is always there. He's tangible. Godwinks make it tangible. Yeah. I love that.
And you know, that scripture, in all your ways acknowledge me and I'll direct your steps. If we acknowledge God, we start seeing our steps unfold in front of us, because he is in everything 24/7. But so often kids, well, they feel, well, I have to pray, so that's a certain time. But no, all day long, basically praying without ceasing is just acknowledging that God is with you all day long.
You know, your story reminds me of a headmistress of a Christian school somewhere in California, and how thrilled we were the day we got the letter from that headmistress to tell us that they have Godwink Friday at their school, and it was an all-girls school, and she went on to explain that they teach the girls, and these were they were 6 to 12-year-olds, but also teens. And they teach them what a Godwink is and to look for them. And at the assembly on Fridays, they would be given an opportunity to stand up and tell their Godwink of the week. And so that just resonated with me.
Yes.
And when I started my Facebook fan page, I realized how much kids hook into Godwinks, because out of the first 100,000 fans that were signed up, 50% were between the ages of 13 and 18, which just blew my mind.
Yeah. Well, you've done an incredible service to parents throughout the world, because if you did nothing else but give it a name, when you identify it, suddenly it becomes part of your thinking to always look for the fingerprints, the winks of God. And we know, I've shared this in sermons numerous times, you know, God is real big on remembrance, stones of remembrance, do this in remembrance of me, festivals, feasts, etc. And we did that with our kids ad nauseum. It would drive them crazy. But we would put pictures of things that God did significantly all over the refrigerator, you know, the shrine of the American home. And we would constantly rehearse these with them. And like I said, they'd roll their eyes and go, not that story again. But as they are older, now our oldest one's 40, as they're older, they're suddenly, it's a callback. And it's like, wow, I remember how God provided that for my parents, and he can do it for me.
Yes.
There's that connection.
That's a legacy for their children.
Yeah.
And you know, it's so fascinating to see how the God winks. When we get letters, it just, there are so many times, you know, we'll just, during the week, we'll just start crying when we see that a God, someone needed a God wink, especially when they lose someone they love, you know, when, I mean, that's the toughest thing, is that people feel so lost. They miss that person so much. Is I want that connection, and God will give them something so special to say, it's okay, I've got them here. Yeah. They're safe with me, you know, and you can feel hope that they're fine. And I think for that, you know, this is what our life is about. The other thing we want to do, it's interesting, you guys, we've been talking about children's television, because we have felt such a longing to get back into that, to help kids, because we see they're so going astray. Because of Schoolhouse Rock and everything that was, I mean, even 40 years later, people can still recite things. We have come up with something called Sunday School Rock. Now, we haven't even done anything with it, but it's, God has placed this in our heart to say,
well, we have the trademark.
We have the trademark.
Just Sunday School
Rock. Sunday School Rock. Do the same thing. Teach kids through music and animation. Teach them morals and values based on my word. Because kids learn through music and animation. Just like, Peggy, you could recite that 40 years later, the Schoolhouse Rock. Kids learn through music. So if we can do that, then, you know, we just feel as though God has given us a whole nother ministry.
Absolutely. We were chuckling ahead of time, right? Just that, you know, at our stage of life, when you think, when Dan and I started Life Off Screen, we said, well, do they want to listen to us? We're kind of older.
Two old guys.
You know, and I am seeing more people older in age.
Yeah.
God jettisoning new career paths for them.
Great.
Because the word is, you're not finished yet.
Yes. And you know what
else
I feel? I feel that God is anointing the baby boomers. Because think about this, guys. We are the generation that remembers when we had prayer in school, remembers that we stood up and said the Pledge of Allegiance, remembered when we were patriotic and learned history. Mm-hmm. We are the ones that carry that with us. We need to teach the younger generations about that. So I believe God is calling the baby boomers. We're not going to be the ones at the church just handing out, you know, the getting the collection plate. I think God has a plan and purpose for us in these later days. I really do.
I agree.
So you've been like busy, right? You're supposed to be retired, Martha Vineyard, right?
I know, but you know, when God takes us home, we want to be working in his kingdom. We want to
plant. That's what we said.
We always use the phrase, we want to leave it all in the field.
That's right.
You know? And you know something? It isn't a bad life. Here we live on Martha's Vineyard in this charming cottage built in 1853.
Squire's age.
And we're working via Zoom on the third Hallmark God Wink movie for this year. It'll shoot sometime in August. And we've got the script done on the first Netflix movie, which is from that Dog Wink book. Mm-hmm. So it's our first Dog Wink movie that is on Netflix.
Congrats.
And all of these things are happening to us. God is just divinely aligning
later in our life
with the right people at the right time.
You know, and Hallmark, it was so interesting because Hallmark, which is wonderful because it's a family network. We knew the Godwink movies would do well with Hallmark.
Yeah.
But we didn't realize how successful they would be. People want faith. And, you know, we give them a little bit of it. You know, we all always say we're the Christians who are in the shallow end. You know,
we're shallow people.
We're shallow people. Actually, a pastor said to that us one time. It was Pastor Jim Reeves, actually, in Pasadena. And he said, I love you guys because you're so shallow. And we said, oh, thanks. Yeah. No, but he said, no, you bring people into the shallow end of the pool because you got to get their toe in the water.
I love it.
Bring them into the deep end.
Right.
And we said, yes.
We're the shallow.
I love that.
What a wonderful analogy.
But it is really a broad audience God's bringing you to, because you had segments on the Today Show as well, right? Yes. And Louise, early on, you started, there's a kindredness there, right? For the two of you, is that you started in children's shows, right? You were in the Croft Super Show.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. And actually, Squire, it was an amazing Godwink. I was doing something for Sid and Marty Croft, a live show at Madison Square Garden, and Squire brought his two kids with him, and they saw this wacky woman, Witchy Poo. I played Witchy Poo. And when
I remember Witchy Poo.
Yes.
She had a green face, long nose, and a wart on it.
Which I've since had removed. But with Squire, the Sid and Marty Croft were looking for a comedian to complete this series they were doing called Captain Cool and the Kongs. And Squire had just come to Madison Square Garden. He said, what about the girl who played Witchy Poo? And since he was a network executive at ABC, they said, okay, we'll hire the girl that played Witchy Poo. And they hired me. So Squire gave me my first job in television. Now, 40 years later, I'm doing a little off-Broadway show. Mm-hmm. Squire is divorced. I'm divorced. Squire sends a note backstage and says, remember me, Squire Rushnell? And I thought, oh my gosh, he's the one who gave me my first job in the business. If it wasn't for him, I'd never be here. When I saw him in the lobby after the show, the Holy Spirit had said to me, there he is. That's who I've chosen for you.
Wow.
And we went out for coffee, and we've had coffee every day since. And it's so interesting because when my husband, it's like a Jerry Springer episode. My husband left me for another woman and sued me for alimony and won. I mean, that's all you have to know. Mm-hmm. And I was devastated. And so for 7 years, I wasn't going to date. I didn't care about men. I was so hurt. When I saw Squire, God melted all of that away. And I knew this is a man I could trust. But it's so interesting, you guys, because after my husband left, and I had prayed for him, because I accepted the Lord a year after we were married. For 20 years, I prayed for that man. 20 years, he didn't come to know the Lord. And so when he left, I was angry at God. And I said, God, what is this about? And as clear as I'm talking to you, in my spirit, I heard, I'm going to take you someplace where he can't go. And then I found out, because we live our lives forward, but we understand it backwards. I understand now that God allowed all of this to happen and all of that pain, because I now have empathy for so many women who've gone through, and so many have gone through what I've gone through, similar experiences.
Betrayal.
Yeah. So when Squire and I got together, and then I saw what God has done. I mean, how can you just not praise him? But Romans 8:28, all things work together.
Amen. Amen. Hello there. We're going to jump in here and push pause on this episode. Squire and Louise shared so many more gems that we thought this is worthy of a second episode.
I particularly loved when she said we live our life forward, and we understand it backwards. More gems to come. You must come back for number two.
Yes. And spoiler alert, Louise is going to go down memory lane with her time with Tim Conway and Harvey Korman. You're not going to want to miss it. So join us next time on Life Off Screen.
Thank you for joining us for Life Off Screen with Dan and Peggy Ruppel. Life Off Screen is produced by Master Media International. Our technical director is Jason Rugg. Please subscribe to the Life Off Screen YouTube channel, or subscribe to the Life Off Screen podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We'd love to hear from you. You can leave your comments in the comment section. And to find out more about Master Media, go to mastermedia.com. Thanks again for joining us. Hope to see you next time.